Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour and a half, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room as well. And we'll talk to you about the world of professional wrestling there. We realize, of course, it's Easter Sunday for those who celebrate, so if you've chosen to spend a few minutes with us or the whole entire 90 minutes with us, thank you very much, and we hope to keep you informed and up to date on some very, very important news in the world of WWE especially. So first, let's start out with the very serious, and that is that the very first case of COVID-19 has struck the WWE. It is not an in-ring performer. We don't know exactly who it is. They're keeping that name private, but it is not. Well, they blacked out the name for the public. Other people know it. Let's put it that way. It's not someone who's in the ring. And it's not someone commonly around a lot of the workers either. However, it is a member. And this is what we had said. We said, okay, well, you're taking your precautions that the professional wrestlers themselves don't come in contact. However, what about the people who work backstage? What about the people who are, manning the cameras and doing this and cleaning that and doing lights and doing sound and doing other things? There's a whole cast of characters there that's not in-ring talent or announcers. What about their safety? They're still WWE employees. Well, guess what? One has it. Their last known contact with anyone in the WWE was, I believe, on March 29th at the Performance Center. At the Performance Center. And we don't know what's going to happen. Other than the WWE says the chance is so minimal of anyone getting this. We've taking everybody's temperatures. You have to understand people are asymptomatic. Some people are asymptomatic. We're taking people's temperatures. We're doing all the cleaning. We're doing isolation. We're doing everything we need to do. Chances are very low. Well, a lot of WWE workers are not happy. And not only are they not happy, they're less happy now because literally before SmackDown was over, Vince McMahon, who had told everyone, we are going to be taping for the month of May. It's a lot of taping. We are going to be taping for the month of May, totally changed his plans and said, never mind, we're just going to do live shows every week. We're just going to do them live. You guys will have to be here. That's the way it is. We're doing everything live. Well, this came as a surprise to all the workers who thought, well, wait a minute, we're going to be able to do all of our stuff and go home for a while or, you know, and be safe with our families. Wrong. And furthermore, when I guess someone asked, well, how are we supposed to do this when there is a stay home order issued for this part of Florida? Vince McMahon said, if you are stopped, you are what's called essential media. Now, as much as I love wrestling, I'm not sure how we can get away with calling Seth Rollins essential media, mm-hmm. Calling Bray Wyatt essential media. Essential media for what? This doesn't make any sense at all. Now, here's why Vince McMahon did this. Everyone I know out there is saying, what is wrong with Vince McMahon? Why would he make such a irrational decision? Why wouldn't he just tape the shows? He had everybody there. Everybody was willing. Why take these chances, especially when there's a case of COVID reported now in WWE? Well, here's the simple answer. Both Fox and USA's contract with Raw and SmackDown states that they can do a number of taped shows, only a certain number. Those shows are reserved usually for Christmas and when they go on European tours, and they have to tape them because you don't want to air them, that much time difference. And they're very minimal. They're like four shows. Anything more than that that's taped can be considered violating the contract. And they could literally pay the WWE tons less money for their product. Because they're saying, you're not giving us a live product. We paid for a live show. We're not getting a live show. Vince McMahon has decided, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let them say we in any way reneged on our contract. And if they want to pull that card, they can pay us a whole lot less. So we're not going to do that. We're simply going to do live shows. And there's no other way to put this except that you are literally putting people in danger of getting this virus. There's no other way to put it. You have now doubled and tripled and quadrupled people's chances of contracting this virus. There's no other way to put this. There's no spin to put on this. That's why they're telling people to stay home. Now, I do want to explain that we are living in weird times, folks. And what I just found out about this COVID situation has disturbed me a little bit. And that is that the CDC, who keeps track of COVID deaths and infections, has on their website that the amount of pneumonia deaths and the amount of flu-related deaths in the last 3 months are zero. Zero. That's not possible. When you look for the answer, you will find out that they are saying that, well, anything like that, we're just attributing to COVID. Okay, well, you can't do that. There's a certain amount of deaths every year from pneumonia, certain amount of deaths from the flu. You're negating all of those deaths and saying these are COVID deaths. Now, that's not true. Plus, you're saying, oh, it's like a little under 1% death rate. Well, you don't know that because you haven't tested everyone. And you're saying some people are asymptomatic. So let's say another 20% of America COVID, but they're asymptomatic or very minor symptoms, and they're not going to die and they're not going to be hospitalized. Well, then that death rate has went from under 1% to under 0.25%, which is less than pneumonia. So do I think a little bit of this, the fatality rate has been exaggerated in COVID? Yes, I do. And I have good evidence to back that up. But it's very, very contagious. See, that's what they're most worried about, I think. It's very, very contagious. It's more easily gotten than your average flu virus or whatever. And for that reason, you don't want a whole bunch of sick wrestlers. I'm not saying, oh my God, somebody got it. They're going to drop dead. They're not. They're not. I can tell you right now as I speak to you, I know two people who I don't have any contact with, but I certainly know them. They don't live in my state. I know two people who have COVID. Both of them are fine. They're not going to be hospitalized. They didn't feel good for a few days. And they're feeling better. But nobody wants to get other people sick. And how Vince McMahon can possibly say, you are essential media, blows my mind. I just don't know. I don't know how this is possible. But I do know it's reckless, and I do know it's money-driven, and I do know that you can blame Vince McMahon all you want, but you can also blame Fox, and you can blame USA, because all Fox and USA had to say was, excuse me, We know there's that clause in the contract. We're waiving that clause. Write us up another clause that says, due to this pandemic, we openly accept that we're going to have to get more tape shows. We're not going to hold your feet to the fire on that because this is an extraordinary circumstance. So we'll put an addendum into that contract that says, due to this pandemic, we are openly aware that we're going to get more taped content, and for that period of time, we're okay with it. No, they won't do it. They're like, oh, good. We get to void the contract. We get to say that you reneged on it. We get to hold money back. Great. Let's hold Vince's feet to the fire. And Vince says, okay, well, if you're going to hold my feet to the fire, I'm going to hold the workers' feet to the fire, and you're going to have to show up live. So this is the way it goes. Even during a pandemic, greed is manifesting itself in all way, shape, and form. And Vince McMahon doesn't want to lose his money. He doesn't want to say that his contract has been, you know, in any way compromised. And apparently Fox and USA can't wait, chomping at the bit, to exercise their right to say, oh, look, look, you voided that contract because there's more taped content than you're allowed. So guess what? For you, I mean, what's going on here, folks? The hell is going on here? So Todd, apparently it's going to be live every week, and that is going to put more people in danger.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, about Vince and everything, wanting to do live shows. I think it's a bad decision right there. I think it's a bad decision to do live shows. Look at the NWA. They're being smart. They're not doing shows right now. AEW, they're doing shows. That's a bad decision on them as well.
Absolutely agreed. So, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to see live shows, and I got news. If one wrestler, one, and I hate to say wrestler because, you know, it's no one wants to get COVID. It doesn't matter if it's a cameraman. It doesn't matter if it's a backstage lackey. It doesn't matter. But I'm saying wrestler because they're high profile. If one wrestler comes down with this because of this live thing, heads are going to roll. I'm telling you right now, heads are going to roll. Okay, let's get on to the next thing, because I know Derek in the chat room was just talking about it, and that is Ronda Rousey, who has reemerged, and depending on who you believe, is either playing a game of, you know, let me build up my character before I come back and working the fans, or she's actually lost her mind. I'm not sure which. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that any source that I have said that Ronda Rousey will not be back in the WWE, certainly not going to be back in the WWE during this pandemic. She's not coming out of, you know, anywhere for this. The closest it would be is next year's WrestleMania. So it's a hell of a long way to start your work. So for that reason, I think it's safe to say that most people consider that this is a shoot. This is not a work. And for the benefit of people who don't know what she said, she basically got on a show and said, I love all the girls in the back. I love working in the WWE. I thought it was a lot of fun. I have a lot of respect for them. I mean, you know, I love acting. I love theater. I love all that kind of stuff. And what's better than to be able to go out there and fake fight and earn a living? Well, that's not a good way to put it, because wrestlers do not like the word fake. Because here is a newsflash. It's not fake. Fake is when you buy cheese in the dollar store and there's no cheese in it. That's fake. Fake is when you inject silicone into your breasts, and they're not real breasts. They're silicone bags. That's fake. Fake is not when you fall off a goddamn ladder onto the ground. There's no way to fake that. Predetermined? Yes. Fake? No. And Ronda Rousey, who says she's such a Roddy Piper fan, should openly understand that. It's not fake. If it's fake, how come you broke your finger and you're out for how long? Well, this raised the ire of a couple of people, not the least of which is Alexa Bliss, who wrote, I was out for a year. Must have been fake. And Lana, who wrote, the audacity of this woman to call this fake. If it's fake, how come Edge couldn't do it for 11 years? How come Tyson Kidd still can't do it? How come Paige still can't do it? Then Ronda kind of half walks it back and half doubles down by saying, look, I respect professional wrestlers. Hard job. You wrestle 200-300 times a year. For year after year after year, it takes a toll on your body. I get it. That's tough. But it's not real, because if you had 300 real fights a year, you'd be dead. Well, I'm going to assume, for the sake of this segment, that she means what she says and she's not playing a game. Which she very well could be. But if she's not playing a game, and this is truly how she feels, she's very ignorant to the world of professional wrestling. She's very ignorant. Because that would be like saying, well, a stuntman in a movie fell off a building or fell off a burning building or caught himself on fire. But, of course, if you were really on fire 10 times a year, you'd be dead. Well, no kidding. It was never meant to really be. But that still doesn't mean it's not dangerous. It still doesn't mean it's not hard. It still doesn't mean it's fake. That's real fire. Are there. This is not a good thing. And I got news for you. If the wrestlers really are as upset as they claim to be, Nia Jax wrote, the only way that I will step into the ring with Ronda Rousey is if I'm ordered to. And if I'm ordered to make her look good, then I'll make her look good, because that's the only way she could look good anyway in a professional wrestling ring. But I will risk my job to be the first person in the WWE to knock her the hell out. So here you go. Now, could this all be a big work? It could. But if it isn't, you've really isolated the people in the back. You've really done a bad job here. You've done a very stupid thing. And then it gets worse. Because then she says, well, you know, it got to the point where I was saying to myself, why am I doing this? I don't really need the money. I wanted to give it a shot, but I'm gone from my family for how long, for what? For, you know, just so I can live out a little bit of a fantasy or whatever. And that's the only real reason. It was fun and all, but I don't want to be away from my family that long, 200 some odd days a year and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, what am I doing it for? Fans who don't even appreciate me? Don't, well, here we go. And fans who are never satisfied. And here we go. This, I'm not sure whether it's a work or not. I'm almost convinced it is, because what's the difference between the fans in UFC? A lot of them booed you. But if it isn't, once again, I don't understand. Here's why, Rhonda. Let me be your Dr. Phil for a minute. Here's why the fans, little plain talk. A, you didn't pay any dues. Zero. B, you treated this like it was fantasy baseball league, where a guy gets to go down for the summer and, play third base for one inning with Major League Baseball players. That's the way you treated it. You treated it like Ronda Rousey's little fantasy trip to WWE. That's B. C, you made nobody look good while you were here. You did nothing for anyone to make them look better. D, you were very, very poor at it. Very poor. For a trained athlete and a quote-unquote real fighter, you were probably the second or third worst female wrestler on that roster. And literally needed to be carried around that ring to even do a passable match. And fans who you think are fickle or dumb are actually smart, and they saw through it and said, she's no good at this. She's no good at this, and yet they're going to give her everything she wants because her name is Ronda Rousey, and at the end of the day, she's drawing money for them. So she's getting publicity for them, so they're going to give her everything she wants despite the fact that technically she is no good at this. This would be exactly the same thing as if Taylor Swift said, I'm going into the UFC, and I'm going to fight Ronda Rousey. And you're told, hey, Ronda, you better make her look good. She's a big star. I don't give a fuck if she can't fight. I don't give a damn if she has no UFC knowledge. This is going to be big for us. This is going to make big money. And Ronda, guess what? You're going to have to let her beat you. You're going to have to make her look like, you know what Ronda Rousey would say? Fuck you. I'm going to do that. But that's what you ask everybody else to do. And at the end of the day, if what you're saying about pro wrestling is true, you did it because you consider yourself a legitimate fighter and then not to be a legitimate fighter. Well, I will guarantee you one thing. In a real fight, not a UFC fight, where there are rules. In a real fight, there's probably a couple girls in that dressing room you probably wouldn't take. Asuka being one of them. So, I don't know if I would poke the bear here anymore than you already have. You've already made yourself look very ignorant to the sport. I already said from day one, you can go back in the archives of this show. I said on day one, if Ronda Rousey's a Roddy Piper fan, I will. There's one of two things. I will either eat my hat because I don't believe it, or B, she learned nothing from him because she's terrible on the mic. She doesn't get it in the ring. She has no psychology. That would be like somebody saying, I'm a fan of Bray Wyatt's, and then wrestling like, you know, Curt Hawkins. Well, you're just like, well, you're not showing any of it. She was mollycoddled. The whole women's division was given to her. And because the whole women's division was given to her and became Ronda Rousey's fantasy camp for a year, she doesn't have the adequate respect for what goes into pro wrestling because she didn't have to do it. If she had to come up through the ranks and pay her dues like some of these girls did, she would have a whole different attitude about what the hell it means to be a professional wrestler. She didn't have to, so she doesn't. It's like CM Punk going to UFC. He never had to do a whole bunch of preliminary matches, work his way up through other MMA, smaller federations before the UFC got a hold of him. He didn't have to do any of that. He became a co-main event overnight because his name was CM Punk. The difference is he didn't get mollycoddled. He just got knocked the fuck out. But that's the same treatment Ronda Rousey got. And the reason the fans turned on you, Ronda, is you were no bloody good. And instead of saying, well, wait a minute, I'm watching my matches and I can clearly see that I'm not very good at this. I can clearly see that I have major shortcomings here. We need to work on this before I can go back out there. I need to really settle it in. No, my name's Ronda Rousey and I fight for real. I don't care. Just show me the money, show me who I'm beating up, and leave me alone. The whole idea behind it, Ronda, is you're doing it for the fans. See, very much unlike UFC, where you're doing it for yourself, and if they're fans, they're great. If there aren't fans, they're great. It doesn't matter. The whole idea behind professional wrestling is you're doing it for the fans, and you got to be good at it. Because otherwise, you're like somebody who can't sing going up to do the national anthem. And you're going to get booed if you suck. Well, that's what happened. At first, everybody liked you. They said, here's Ronda Rousey. She's going to show us some great stuff. She's a great athlete. And then when we saw what you could give us, we were like, wait a minute. This isn't very good, is it? This really isn't pro wrestling. She don't get it. And then you became like a special guest star. One of these people like Stephen Amell or somebody who shows up and says, I'll do a match, except you didn't go away. And every week it became more and more and more clear she really doesn't know what she's doing. And everyone here is carrying her to death. And rather than to respect that and say, man, I stepped into a world I didn't understand, and thank you very much for making me look as good as you did, because, whoa, I'm out of my element. Instead, you're like, no, you guys are fake and I'm real. So no matter how bad I look, I'm still better than you. That's not true. It's just not true. In fact, it's absurd. And it shows your lack of understanding for professional wrestling. And unfortunately, if all of this is not a work, it shows that you didn't even respect the gift you were given. And that was a gift. That was a wrapped up with a bow gift. Let's halt women's revolution so Ronda Rousey can destroy everybody and hurt a few people in the process by being clumsy, slow, lackluster, unsure, and boring. And then let's blame the fans because we didn't give her a standing ovation every time because she just wasn't very good. So Todd, I mean, I don't know where she's coming from this, but if this is not a work, this is ridiculous.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if it's at work, it's ridiculous right there. And if it's a shoot, we don't know what's going on with this thing with Ronda Rousey. Apparently, she just don't get it.
If it was around WrestleMania time, I'd say this is bullshit. She's setting this up so she can come back and get the big boo from the fans, and Becky Lynch and her can go at it again. And this sounds like pro wrestling nonsense to me. But I don't know if it is, because it's just too long for the payoff. You know, you wouldn't start this until maybe 3, 4, 5 months from now. And to do it now seems ludicrous. So if it is, it's for nothing, because that heat's not going to last. And if it isn't, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, will Nia Jax do this? I don't know. Because here's the problem. If Nia Jax does get in the ring with Ronda Rousey and does say, I'm just going to punch her lights out, she better hope she does, because if she doesn't, then there's nothing to say Ronda's also not going to say, okay, well then, I guess it's on. And I'm not sure Nia Jax is one of those people who could fight Ronda Rousey off. If you want to do a Roddy Piper, where Roddy Piper was basically hand-chosen to teach Jimmy Snuka a lesson, for the benefit of people who might not know about this, Jimmy Snuka was apparently hurting people, hurting wrestlers. And Jimmy Snuka was on some substances when he went to the ring sometimes, apparently. And from legend says, we have no proof, but legend says that Roddy Piper was chosen to go out there and quote unquote teach him a lesson. Which Roddy Piper did by knocking him off the turnbuckle and I think breaking his neck when he was going to do the Superfly leap unexpectedly. I mean, you could hope that cooler heads would prevail. But if Nia Jax is the person picked to go out there and teach Ronda Rousey a lesson, I don't know. You know, I would pick Asuka. Or I would pick, you know, maybe a Rhea Ripley, somebody that has a little bit of credentials who you could say they can do it and make it look accidental. Because now Nia Jax has put the whole world on notice she's going to do it. You think Ronda Rousey's going to get in the ring and be like, oh, go ahead and throw a punch? She's not going to do that. Truthfully, the answer is this. If Ronda Rousey doesn't understand why the fans are booing her and she thinks that they're fickle and she thinks that they're ungrateful, number one, it's not the fans who should be grateful. What should we be grateful for, Ronda? I would love for you to call this show and explain to me why we are supposed to be grateful that you have graced us with your presence when you're no damn good at it. See, we're not supposed to be grateful. Oh my God, Rhonda's here. We're so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. You're supposed to be grateful that I was led into this business without having to put any real work into it, without having to really pay any dues. And I'm in here in WrestleMania in front of fans who initially is giving me a really good reaction. And if anything, you can judge their reaction eventually as your own failure because you weren't good at it. That's all. I always, because I'm a musician, I always tend to use music analogies. Let me give you an analogy. If there's a band and you've listened to them on CD for I don't know how long and you love them, and you're like, wow, they're coming to a concert. I can't wait to go see it. And you go see it and they sound nothing like the CD, and they just suck, and you boo them, then the band can't say the crowd is ungrateful. It's the band's fault. Well, it's your fault. You said, I come from a world where this is the real fighting. I have all of the chops. I have all of the moves. I have all of the whatevers. I can get in. You're the female CM Punk. CM Punk says, I can get in that UFC ring and fight guys and have no problem knocking them out because I know all the, yeah, you know everything. Until you get in there and 5 seconds later, you're tapping out. Well, Ronda Rousey's the same way. Oh, I could do this in my sleep. I just will, instead of putting any pressure on it, I won't put pressure on it. Instead of, really punching, I'll pull my punch. And then she realized there's a whole lot more to wrestling than that. There's pacing. There's ring placement. There's psychology. There's a lot of things that you don't understand. And you weren't any good at it. So the fans turned on you, much like the band that they thought they were going to like until the third song out and they were still sucking. Well, that's what they did. They allowed you one match to say, oh, well, she was in there with Stephanie and, you know, you can't judge anything by Stephanie. She's not really a wrestler either. We'll give her another opportunity. Oh, well, she was in there against a jabron girl. What are you going to do? You know, but no, you were given ample opportunity. You were put in there with Charlotte Flair. You were put in there with Alexa Bliss. You were put in there with many, many, many top people and you weren't any good. It's not your fault. Some people can do it and some people can't do it. You couldn't do it. I can't name one good Ronda Rousey match, really. The WrestleMania match with Stephanie and Triple H was your best match. And that was so choreographed that I was told that that match was ran over like 400 times. So you're just not good at it. So of course fans aren't going to be appreciative. It should have been you who was appreciative. The correct thing to do is to say, you know, wrestling's harder than I thought. Not only did it take me away from my family for countless, countless days, which I don't like, and I don't know how these people can do it. It took a toll on my body. And honestly, I don't think I was very good at it. And I want to thank the fans for putting up with me and, you know, coming to see me as much as they did, because in retrospect, I don't really think I offered them a ton in the way of great, great performances, and they were still pretty kind to me in the long run, so I appreciate that. That's the way that goes. See, you need to be appreciative of what you were given. Could it be a work? Of course it could be. If it isn't, then that's my rebuttal. If it is, I still have a low opinion, and here's why. It's the stupidest work in the world. Because it has no payoff. This isn't going to last for a year till WrestleMania. And you're not coming back before that, so what's the point? Anyway, what are you going to do? Third piece of information. obviously, is that SmackDown, we got to see some matchups that are going to lead to the Money in the Bank participants, none of which is I'm overly thrilled with. We already know who's going to win the two matches that were announced. Dana Brooke is certainly not going to beat Naomi, and obviously Cesaro is not going to beat Daniel Bryan. So there you have that. But what I want to get to next, because I think it's important, is what happened in the Braun Strowman thing. First off, the Shinsuke Nakamura thing was ridiculous. Let's just go there. You cannot Jinder Mahal Braun Strowman. And what you did was you took a guy who was downcycling, wasn't even able to beat Sami Zayn. Yes, I know. He had a lot of help. He still lost to Sami Zayn. He lost the Intercontinental title to Sami Zayn. He lost to the Gypsy King in a boxer versus wrestler match. He lost to Braun Strowman twice. I mean, he lost to Brock Lesnar twice. He was downcycling. You didn't even think enough of him to keep the Intercontinental belt on him. And then this pandemic hit, and you said, we got Goldberg as the champion, and now we're fucked because Roman Reigns won't do this match. Rightfully so, by the way. What do we do? Well, your first thing was Jeff Hardy. We're going to go to Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's not going to win, but we'll throw Jeff Hardy in the mix. It'll be a big comeback. Goldberg will win, and we'll do Roman Reigns Goldberg down the road. But then, depending on who you want to believe, either Goldberg wanted a boatload of money that the WWE did not want to give him, or he patently refused and said, I don't want to wrestle anymore in 2020. Whichever one you believe, the WWE was then faced with whoever we pick has to win. Who do we pick? Can't be The Fiend. He's already facing John Cena, so we can't do the rematch. Who do we pick? And the answer is Braun Strowman. Well, this was bad, and here's why that's bad. He has been downplayed. So then, common sense was, well, most fans thought, well, Goldberg will win, not knowing that Goldberg was not contractually going to do any more matches. So he didn't win. He had to be given the belt. And now you've painted yourself into a corner because Roman Reigns may not be back until late May or longer. So you need a champion until then. Will it be Braun Strowman? Well, up to last Friday night, I thought, yeah, you know, they'll probably go with Strowman, but I don't know how that's going to work because Strowman is a face and Roman's a face, and you don't want Roman to be booed out of the building for winning the belt. So Friday night comes along, and we see Bray Wyatt. And the minute I see it, I say, okay, well, now we know where this is going, don't we? It's going the way of Bray Wyatt regains the belt and then faces Roman Reigns. Now, I know there's a lot of people who said, well, this could be Braun Strowman's time for a push. Here's why it can't be. Because he was downcycling. You're trying to Jinder Mahal him. You're literally going from he's a guy who's on level with Sami Zayn to he's the champion and nobody can beat him overnight. You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, if this was the same Braun Strowman that was tipping over ambulances, if this was the same Braun Strowman who was getting out of garbage disposals, he was throwing in garbage trucks, then I would have said, yeah, well, you could run with him because he's virtually undefeated. But once again, Saudi Arabia has destroyed the WWE. You know, I said they've destroyed them public relations-wise, but let's talk about how they destroyed them other ways. Goldberg wouldn't be the champion if it wasn't for Saudi Arabia, so you wouldn't have had any trouble, would you? You never would have pulled that card. So you wouldn't have had that trouble. If it hadn't been for Saudi Arabia, you wouldn't have bothered to put Braun Strowman against the Gypsy King. So you wouldn't have had that embarrassing loss on Braun Strowman's record, would you? All of these nonsensical Saudi Arabia shows are killing the WWE and some people's pushes. And as much as I like Braun Strowman, and I do like Braun Strowman, he can't be the champion. For a number of reasons. One, there's nobody there for him to fight. He's already fought most of these people. Two, fans just aren't that interested in him anymore. You'd have to build him up again first. You cycle him down, and then you build him back up. And that's what I thought they were doing. I said, okay, he lost the belt to Sami Zayn with all kinds of help. He'll hit rock bottom for a little while, and then he'll probably come back as a heel. And when he comes back as a heel, he's going to be vicious and monstrous and everything again, and they're going to build him right back up to be that super Braun Strowman that we... But no, right in the middle of it, they just... Boop. You're the champion now. All because of a Saudi Arabia booking mistake. And now I just don't see, Todd, how they can put the belt... Keep the belt on him until Roman Reigns gets back.
Like you said, it's a big mistake right there with having Braun Strowman be the Universal Champion. If it just, there's no way to fight him. If I was the WWE, I would not give him the belt. I would not give him the belt.
The problem was they didn't have a choice. They were booked into this corner where they, okay, we've given Goldberg the belt. What do we do? I'll tell you what you do. You have The Fiend take him out. You have The Fiend take Goldberg completely out of the equation. Goldberg is hurt. He's injured. He's this. He's that. He will not be able to defend the belt. Therefore, he's stripped of the belt. And this match, if that's what you wanted to call it, with John Cena will be for the title. And you have one less match. Okay, you don't have Goldberg at WrestleMania. Give him his money and tell him to go home. He don't care. He'd be very happy he doesn't have to wrestle at WrestleMania. And then at least you'd have The Fiend as the champion again. And you could say, well, this was all a ploy to get John Cena to come back. The Fiend didn't really lose the belt. He kind of let Goldberg take it for a second and then... You know, wanted to see if he could lure John Cena back in and then, you know, grab his belt back and prove to Cena something, whatever you wanted to do. There are ways you could justify it. Instead, you just said, well, who's the biggest guy we got here? I guess Braun Strowman. Okay, well, you'll be the champion for a little while, Braun. Don't get too used to it. Don't you see this is going to hurt Braun Strowman worse when he loses? It's one thing to cycle a guy down. It's another thing to totally destroy him. And if he loses the Intercontinental belt in a week or two, like he did, and then he loses the Universal Championship in a week, or the WWE Championship in a week or two, like he's going to do probably, then I don't understand. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with him from then on out? So this is a mistake. It's another booking mistake that never should have happened. And as unhappy as that's going to make some people, what are you supposed to do? Are you really going to run with Braun Strowman as the champion? What's Sami Zayn supposed to say then? Well, wait a minute. I beat Braun Strowman. So technically my belt is worth more than his because he's holding a belt, but I beat him. You can't have that. What's the Gypsy King supposed to say? Hey, I beat the champion. He's the champion now. Nobody can touch him, but I knocked him out. So I guess I'm better than everybody there. You can't have it. Because then it just makes your champion look weak. And I'm not even a big fan of giving it back to The Fiend. Because I don't think The Fiend should have ever had it to begin with. The Fiend is not a character that should have had the belt. Why the hell would he care about the belt? So that's a mistake. You've done nothing but booking errors, WWE. You've done nothing but them. And this is why fans get disgruntled. Because there isn't a good solution. Ronda Rousey wants to say, well, the fans are never satisfied. Never satisfied because you never give us a good solution. That's why. I mean, if you're going to sit down to a meal and you say, hey, man, you know, I'm going to sit down to a diner and I'm going to have a really, really good meal. And you say, what kind of vegetables do you have? And they say, we got lima beans and radishes. And you say, you don't have any corn? No. String beans? No. Peas? No. Carrots? No. Am I supposed to be satisfied and thankful? Or am I supposed to say, well, I don't know that. I'm going to another restaurant because I don't want lima beans or radishes. Well, that's what the WWE is. I don't want Braun Strowman as the champion. You haven't built him up enough yet. I don't want Goldberg as the champion. He was a joke. I don't want The Fiend as the champion. He shouldn't even wanted the belt. I don't want any of those people as the champion. Well, those are your choices. Well, those are not good choices. That's lima beans and radishes again. I don't want them. And I got a newsflash. It really doesn't matter, WWE, if you give it to The Fiend or you give it to Braun Strowman, because Roman Reigns is going to get booed either way now. Because The Fiend is popular. He's probably more popular than Braun Strowman. So how do you figure that the Roman Reigns is going to get any less booed fighting The Fiend than he's going to with Braun Strowman? The only difference is The Fiend looks a little more hard to beat than Braun Strowman. Because what are we supposed to do? Build up a big, big, huge, super colossal clash between Braun Strowman, who can't beat Sami Zayn, and Roman Reigns, who loses to nobody. Well, then that's a squash match. You know how they have those little things on the sides of the picture of the athlete saying what their achievements were? What are we going to have for Braun Strowman? Lost to a boxer, lost to a manager. Is now fighting Roman Reigns. Well, that doesn't look good. That doesn't sound like a great match to me. Not at all. It doesn't sound like a draw. Nobody's going to come to see that match thinking, oh, this is going to be a battle for the ages. No, it's not. They're going to come there and say, we know what's going to happen. Roman Reigns is going to win. We get it. So it's not a good match. It's not a good option. You've left us with no good options. You've left us with, you guessed it, lima beans and radishes. Lesser of two evils. Well, the lesser of two evils is give it back to The Fiend. Because Braun Strowman has not been booked in the last 6 months as being championship quality, and just handing him the belt and saying he is now is the same thing he did to Jinder Mahal, and that didn't work. But I don't want The Fiend as champion either. And when he's the champion, he's just like Braun Strowman. He's just going to carry it till Roman gets back. And then every one of these fans who said the reason we don't like Roman is everything is booked around Roman is going to say, here we go again. Here we go again. I don't like it. Terrible booking. And once again, you were put in that position because Saudi friggin' Arabia. Could we just have not had an upset? Wouldn't that have been really cool? Find somebody who's a really good wrestler who really deserves a little bit of a run as WWE champion. And have him upset Goldberg, that's all. And just say, well, what do you expect? Goldberg was thinking he was going to fight Roman Reigns, 6'2", 270-pound dude, and he ends up fighting this guy who's totally different. And he lost. It's not really his fault. He trained for somebody he wasn't fighting. Not even close. And then maybe you could have kept a running champion for a little while. Maybe Roman Reigns comes back and says, well, he's a good champion. I'm not going to challenge him right now. We'll see what happens. And then eventually you let some other, you know, heel win it, and then Roman can challenge that heel. But there's going to be no big coronation for Roman Reigns beating Braun Strowman, and there's going to be no big coronation for Roman Reigns beating The Fiend. The fans will not accept it. I'm sure you'll go do it in Saudi Arabia. I just don't, I'm telling you, this is a bad decision, Todd, because either way, I think Roman Reigns is going to come out of this with the fans' wrath again.
Oh, you're absolutely right, right there. Like you said, I remember a couple of years ago when Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble by the help of The Rock, he got booed out of the building. He got booed out of the building.
Sure did.
Heavily. And it was not, didn't look great.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have a little breaking news, by the way, concerning Drew McIntyre, because I thought this is very telling with the WWE. Drew McIntyre said when he won the belt, I know you're not supposed to say the belt, when he beat Brock Lesnar and he looked into the camera and thanked the fans, that was breaking a WWE rule that you never, ever do that. And he said, I did it anyway. I knew they could edit it out if they wanted to edit it out. I'm glad they didn't edit it out. I'm glad they decided to keep it in. Why is that banned? Are you saying that the people watching are of no consequence? I don't understand why that's banned. Never was. Wrestlers walk over to the camera all the time, and what's hard camera side so I can talk? Well, who are you talking to then, if not us? Oh, well, don't address them, actually. Don't say, for all you people watching at home, what are you talking about? Didn't The Rock say, for the millions watching around the world, was he not addressing us? There wasn't a million people in the arena. I don't understand the concept. I could see you don't want to do it every day. But on rare occasions, I can't understand why that's not good. Very bizarre. The WWE is going through some very bizarre things. And now on top of this, the XFL has totally suspended their season and laid off every employee. And I got a very strong feeling this ain't coming back. I got a very strong feeling this is done. This is a wrap. This is the second time this has failed. It was starting to get a little bit of legs, but I mean, the amount of money that had to be lost on this and to get these people back, I think it's done. So now Vince McMahon, I guess, is in panic mode. He's lost this, and now he's figuring I could violate my terms of my contract with Fox and USA, so I got to do live shows. On top of this, you got a guy that came down, or a person that came down with COVID in there on their payroll. It's not good. This isn't good. And this is why AEW suspended their tapings and said, we're just not going to do it. Now, to be fair, they should have done that before. AEW was doing the exact same thing that I'm accusing the WWE of doing now, being very uncaring and flippant about it and saying, who cares? We're fine. Now they're taking it seriously, and Vince McMahon's doing the opposite. So that's unusual. Another thing we have to talk about is, where in the hell is Rhea Ripley? Well, this is a whole convoluted mess. Rhea Ripley, apparently her visa's run out. Normally you got to go back to Australia, reapply, and then come back. She can't do it because travel's been suspended. So people were saying, well, she's back in Australia, but she can't get back. She's not in Australia because she can't go. But she also apparently can't work. So she's in limbo. I don't know when you're going to see her. As soon as this travel ban is lifted, or they do something special for her and get her work visa back, or whatever the hell's got to happen. But for the immediate future, she's in limbo. And the reason, apparently, that Charlotte Flair won is Vince McMahon wants to have Charlotte Flair on NXT, as we had assumed, to have another big name there. They won the ratings war this week, NXT did. over AEW, and they want to continue that or try to continue that. It's going to be a little easier for them now because NXT suspended any taping, so we may be getting in. Fans are starting to turn on AEW a little bit, by the way. I read an article that said that some fan wrote in and told Cody Rhodes, "Yeah, listen, you're a mid-card wrestler trying to be a main eventer, and it's not working." And Cody was very nice in his reply and said, "Well, yeah, I was a mid-card wrestler my whole life, and I am trying to move myself up the ranks and whatever, but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with trying to achieve what you want, and that's the whole goal of every wrestler, isn't it, to go from a undercard or mid-card to main eventer. So, you know, what's wrong with that?" But in a sense, while this fan is kind of an idiot, because Cody Rhodes certainly is, his talent is not mid-card talent, he does have a point. And the point is, I just don't see him selling out major. I don't see people running to say, "Let me go get the Cody Rhodes t-shirt. Let me run to get the Cody Rhodes action figure. Let me run to get the Cody Rhodes lunchbox." I don't see it. You know, in the heyday, you couldn't go into a store without seeing a John Cena t-shirt or a Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt or a Hulk Hogan t-shirt before that. They were everywhere. It's the damnedest thing you've ever seen. I don't see Cody Rhodes t-shirts. I still see John Cena t-shirts. I still see John Cena on these WWE shirts, which is amazing. When you go into like chain stores like Walmart and stuff, you can still find these WWE shirts and there's like John Cena's in the background, which is pretty funny. But you don't see AEW. So this is going to be the test for AEW. I think this is, in a way, this is the best test for AEW. Because this is going to show Cody Rhodes and his ilk. Did you have loyal fans who would follow you through anything? Or did you have fair weather fans who considered you the flavor of the month? "Oh, you're cool this year. It's cool to be an AEW fan this year." You know, like it's cool to be, you know, whatever. It's cool to follow this band this year. But, oh, next year this band is old and passe. Well, now we're going to find out, Cody, how many real fans you had and how many fair weather fans you had. And interestingly enough, if NXT starts beating you in the ratings, that means that the WWE in the long run had more real, honest-to-God fans and you had more fair weather fans. So that'll be interesting to watch and see. This pandemic has been nothing short of devastating. Devastating. Not only in terms of, you know, the people that's infected and the unfortunate loss of life, but this has just been devastating to many forms of entertainment and sports. It's just been devastating. And at the end of the day, I think we're going to be asking ourselves a huge question at 6 months, 8 months from now. And that question is, did we overreact? Did we overly panic? And maybe the answer will be no. Maybe the answer will be, thank God we took these measures that we did, because this thing was worse than we thought. Or maybe the answer will be, yeah, we overreacted, but we did it honestly. I mean, we did it hoping for the best, but you can't destroy the entire country's economy and everything of it on a whim that this could be bad. So I hope that we understand the ramifications of what's happening here, because there are going to be major companies. XFL's done. The XFL is, I'd be very, very surprised if they ever come back. They're done. That's hundreds of millions of dollars lost. UFC can't hold any fights. They're done. We don't know when the baseball season's starting. They're still going to have to pay all their players, and that's 1 year on their contract. That's devastating. All of this is devastating. And one person dead is someone's father or mother or son or daughter, and it's devastating and it's horrible, and I would not in any way, shape, or form belittle that. One death is too many. However, pneumonia causes a lot of deaths. The flu causes a lot of deaths. Diabetes causes a lot of deaths. We don't shut things down because of it. So we really have to be sure before we do anything like this ever again, I think, because the ramifications of this is going to be felt for a long, long time. I talk to people constantly and they say, well, when this is lifted, if it's May or June, I'm not running right back to the movies. I'm not running right back to a sports stadium. I'm not running right back to a, a crowded mall. I don't want to get it because somehow we have all convinced ourselves that if we get it, it is the Black Death, we are done. Somehow we've all convinced ourselves that, oh my God, a COVID-19 diagnosis is the same thing as saying you have 6 months to live. I don't see that. I've just given you the numbers. And the numbers are less than a fourth of 1%, if you really want to get technical. Less than a fourth of 1% is probably the actual number of people who die who contract it. And that's about equal, if not less than pneumonia. And nobody said, oh my God, it's pneumonia season. Everybody stay out of the stores and wear masks and close down sports and do everything. Something's amiss. And I think it all comes from, and again, this is not a political show. We'll get back to pro wrestling here. But I think it all comes from the fact that we just don't trust what China said. You can. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to tell you this. On a virus that's killing less than a quarter of 1% of people, technically, you're doing an awful lot of damage to the economy, an awful lot of damage to people's lives, and spending an awful lot of money on stimulus packages and everything else. And at the end of the day, I think it's all because we don't trust China, and we don't trust we were told the truth about any of this. And we don't know what we're dealing with because we think they're lying. That's where I come. That's my take on this. So what is wrestling going to do? Well, they say they're going to hold the money in the bank the same as normal. I'm told that's not going to happen. But now I'm skeptical of that because if Vince McMahon can somehow overnight say, oh, we are now essential workers, then I guess he can. I don't know. For the life of me, I don't know how he pulled this off. And if you're Dana White, you got to be saying, what the actual fuck? He can hold professional wrestling shows. We can't hold a UFC fight. And the idea behind the combat sports thing was put to it like this. They said, look, all combat sports are suspended, and here's why. Not just because you could spread the COVID virus. You could do it without a crowd, and I guess two guys who were tested by doctors and everything else could fight. I mean, they're going to be tested anyway. Real fighters are definitely tested before they go out to the octagon or whatever, or the ring or whatever. But they're saying, well, but here's what you got to understand. In real fights, sometimes there's a lot of medical attention required or whatever, and that's pulling medical attention away from people who desperately need it. Well, that scenario is kind of crumbling. Here in New York, we were told we're going to need 100,000 hospital beds. Well, that didn't come close to happening, and we are not in need of that many. We were told the hospitals are going to overflow. We're going to have to set up other hospitals. We're going to have to set up things in parking lots. We're going to have to do this. It didn't happen. It hasn't happened yet anyway. Yeah, they're definitely being tested. I'm not saying that the hospitals aren't close to capacity, but we are not in dire emergency. People aren't literally being put in tents in parking lots. So I don't know. I don't know how WWE can go on with it and UFC can't. And someone's going to ask that question because they're losing millions of dollars. So someone's going to say, wait, hold the phone. Vince McMahon can go ahead and do all this? Why? And I can't. And I'm not even sure the optics look good. AEW actually eventually did the right thing. They said, yeah, you know what? Maybe we were dumb. We probably did take it a little too lightly. And you know what? We're just not going to do anymore. We're not going to do any more of this. We'll just wait. Those optics look better. Even if it turns out that this whole thing was overblown to a certain extent, at least AEW can say, yeah, well, you know what? At first, we didn't take it serious, but we did the right thing in the long run. In the long run, in hindsight, we did the right thing. WWE is the opposite. They get a confirmation that one of their guys, not wrestlers, but one of their employees has COVID and says, we're going live from the same place he worked at. Every week, 2-3 times a week, because they're going to be doing Raw. They're going to be doing SmackDown Live. They're going to be doing NXT. I don't get it. So anyway, folks, there you have it. This is what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and the world today in general. And there's a lot of mixed messages and there's a lot of crossed wires here. And then you wonder why the average person is confused. You wonder why the average person who works at a supermarket says, well, I don't understand why, you know, I have to go in. If this is such a pandemic, people have to stay home. How come I got to go in and sell, you know, cameras or video games or shoes? But then they say, well, I don't know. WWE guys can go in. They're okay to go in. To be honest, there's probably 100 or plus people in that building at one time. They're saying, well, we've cut the crew down as little as we can. Well, obviously not too little. And obviously someone got it. And that one person, you say, well, that one person's fine. Thankfully, I'm very glad to hear that. But let's say that didn't happen. Let's say that one person isn't fine and they contracted it because you decided you needed to hold WrestleMania. Was it worth it? That's what you have to ask yourself. So this is where we're at, folks. We got mixed messages. We got half the world saying this isn't serious, that serious. It's way overblown. And we got half the world saying it's the Black Death. If you so much as go outside to check your mail without a mask and a suit of armor on, you're going to die and melt into a pile of dust. I don't know which is true. But I suspect it's somewhere in the middle. I suspect that this is a highly contagious virus that makes you quite sick. I suspect that your average person who's not very elderly or doesn't have a lot of underlying medical conditions probably isn't going to die from this. They're just going to not feel very well and go through a miserable flu-like or pneumonia-like symptoms. Nobody wants that. I mean, if you told me, hey, if you go to the store, you're going to catch the flu or pneumonia, I'm not going to the store. But I never lived in fear of it either. I don't, you know, I realized I had a chance of catching the flu. So I don't know when things are going to get back to normal. But I know the WWE has made themselves some very, very bad decisions. If I was a shareholder in this company, I would bail. I would bail so quick your head would spin, because I have no confidence that the people making the decisions have a damn clue what they're doing. From the very beginning, their Saudi Arabia contract was a optics nightmare and caused them endless aggravation. And now that they're not causing the political aggravation, now they're causing booking aggravation. Well, we got to do something special for Saudi Arabia. Let's bring back Bill Goldberg. Well, if we're bringing him back, we better have the title. We'll give him the title. Well, if we're going to give him the title, that would be good, because then we can have him and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Well, how'd that work out? And now you're stuck doing one of two things. You're stuck giving Braun Strowman the belt, which is basically keeping Braun Strowman with the belt, which is A, destroying the Fiend, and B, Jinder Mahaling Braun Strowman, in the sense that Braun Strowman was on the down cycle, and all of a sudden he went from I can't beat Sami Zayn to I'm the champion and I can beat everybody overnight. Braun Strowman's last two or three major events, he lost. And the way to rehab somebody is not to instantly give him a belt. Would you be okay with saying, okay, Curt Hawkins is now the champion? That's it. Curt Hawkins beat the Fiend, and he's unbeatable now. You'd say, well, that's just dumb. That's just dumb. You don't build somebody up like that. You build them up gradually. Well, you got to do that with Braun Strowman again because you built them down. You cycled them down. He beat the whole tag team division by himself. He couldn't beat Sami Zayn and a couple of his lackeys, right? So don't tell me he wasn't being cycled down. He couldn't beat Tyson Fury. Beat the whole tag division by himself. Can't beat Tyson Fury. Okay, well then you can't be the champion for a little while until we build you back up, Braun, because we have made you kind of mediocre. And we can't go from mediocre to world beater in one shot just because we decided we wanted Goldberg to have the belt. So if you do that, you've totally destroyed the Fiend. If you take the belt off Braun Strowman this quickly, you've really hurt him. You've really hurt him. So you got a dilemma again, and it's a dilemma of your own making. And I know people will say, oh, it's not their own making. They didn't know about the pandemic. Their own making because they gave the belt to that lackluster piece of crap Goldberg when they didn't have to. If you just had Goldberg versus Roman Reigns for no belt, and it was The Fiend and John Cena for the belt, who cares? If Roman Reigns said, I can't do the match, fine. Then Goldberg fights Braun Strowman, and Braun Strowman beats Goldberg, and who cares? That's a good build-up for Braun Strowman, and you've cycled Braun Strowman back up, and you still have a champion that you wanted. But you couldn't do that, could you, WWE? You had to give the belt to that goofball and paint yourself into yet another corner. Well, congratulations. And now you're suffering for it. And now somebody else is going to have to suffer for it. Either Bray Wyatt's going to have to suffer for it, or Braun Strowman's going to have to suffer for it. And that's not fair. And that's what aggravates me with the WWE. And that's what aggravates me when Ronda Rousey says, and you fans who are never happy. No, we're never happy. We're not happy when you give us this. I'm not happy if my choice is you want dog shit or cat shit for breakfast. Well, I don't want either one. And then we're the ones who, oh, they're ungrateful. Yeah, I'm ungrateful because I don't want dog or cat shit. And that's what this is. So don't give me two terrible choices and tell me I'm ungrateful because you gave them to me. Give me something quality. You got nothing. The WWE's creativity is getting high marks right now because they're saying, oh, look at the wonderful Boneyard match and look at that wonderful Funhouse match. Yeah, and look at the clusterfuck of booking. Look at the clusterfuck of booking that had nothing to do with the pandemic because it was before the pandemic. It was a clusterfuck from day one. The Fiend never should have lost the belt because the Fiend never should have had the belt. But since the Fiend had the belt, you had to destroy his mystique by having Goldberg come out of retirement and do two moves and beat him. So let me get this straight. Goldberg beats the Fiend, no real problem. Braun Strowman beats Goldberg, no real problem. But Braun Strowman's going to have a hard time beating the Fiend. Or let's change it around. Sami Zayn seems to have no problem distracting Braun Strowman because Strowman's not that bright and is easily distracted, but the master of mind manipulation won't be able to beat him. That doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. It's the dog and cat shit question. If Braun Strowman wins, that's dog shit. Because you have not booked him to be the invincible champion he once could have been. And just handing them the belt because of this emergency and saying run with it a little while and see what happens is dumb. It's cat shit if you give it to The Fiend because, A, The Fiend should not ever have the belt again, ever. Shouldn't have had it to begin with anyway. Because it only means he's going to have to lose it again. And then you're going to set up The Fiend and Roman Reigns, and Reigns is still going to get booed. So either way, it's the dog and cat shit choice. Either way, it doesn't work. And you're too blind to see that? Well, what are we supposed to do? We had to get the belt off Goldberg. Okay, get the belt off Goldberg. Get it off of him in an attack by The Fiend. Then at least it would be The Fiend and John Cena for the belt, and you wouldn't have had to worry about Goldberg. Or give it to somebody who deserves it, that you've got built up big. Give it to Aleister Black if you had to. Let him come over to the other side. Let him go over to whatever you had to do. Give it to some guy coming up and say, well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to bring in Keith Lee or we're going to bring in whoever from NXT. And, oh, hell, they beat Goldberg. Jesus, I would have said Matt Riddle. I hate Matt Riddle. Go ahead and give it to Matt Riddle. Let him beat Goldberg. Go ahead and give it to that idiot. And then just let friggin' Roman Reigns crush him. Or The Fiend, not The Fiend, because I don't want The Fiend to have the belt. Or Braun Strowman crush him if that's what you wanted to do. I don't care. But you can't have Braun Strowman do it now because he was being downcycled for a reason. If you didn't have confidence in Braun Strowman enough to say you get to keep the Intercontinental belt for a while, how do we as fans supposed to buy into the fact that you have confidence of him being your top champion? You could have let Braun Strowman keep that belt against Sami Zayn and company if you really had any faith in him. We've seen him beat more than three people at once, so what's the big deal if he beat Sami Zayn and company? You'd say, okay, well, that's Braun Strowman, man. He does that shit. You didn't do it. So that means you didn't have confidence in him as even the Intercontinental Champion. And now we're supposed to buy into the fact that you have supreme confidence in him as your big champion? That's bullshit. Total bullshit. There's only one way to get this done, and that is Braun Strowman has to turn heel. If he loses to The Fiend, which I'm presuming he's gonna, turn him heel. Then you can start building him back up again, and he can say, you know, I grew weak with all this nonsense of trying to cater to the fans and do this and do that, and that's done. I'm the old Braun Strowman again, and then let him squash some people, build him back up, cycle him back up, and we'll buy it. But I'm not buying it now. You don't give a guy the belt that just got finished losing to Tyson Fury, just got finished losing to Sami Zayn, just got finished having hard fought matches with people who are mid-carders. That's what you did with Jinder Mahal, and it didn't work. So this is where we stand, folks. The WWE is in ruin. They're in ruin. Some of it because of their own terrible, ridiculous, horrible booking. And some of it because of this pandemic that put some plans aside. But are you going to tell me that a multi-million, $1 billion company doesn't have a plan B? Let's say there was no pandemic and Roman Reigns got in a car accident. What's your plan B? I broke my leg. I can't wrestle. What's your plan B? You don't have a plan B for WrestleMania? This is why you book it ahead of time, you idiots. This is why you have it out 6-8 months ahead of time what you're going to do with a plan B and maybe a plan C. Because when you sit on your asses and say, I don't know what we're going to do for WrestleMania, and it's, 6 weeks away, well, this is what happens. Plan ahead of time and have a goddamn plan B. Have a backup plan. Jesus Christ. You're telling me as an investor I'm supposed to have ultimate confidence in you guys? You don't even have a plan B? We don't know. We'll just pull somebody out of the back and they'll fall. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? It's not good enough, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's not good enough. Like you said, it's with everything's going on and, you know, with the pandemic and all that other crap, it's just messed up right now.
Yeah, that's the understatement. It's more than messed up. It's more than messed up. But a lot of this is of their own making. Because other than Roman Reigns, everybody's ready to wrestle. And you're still blowing it. You're still blowing it. There's a million things you could have done. You could have said, well, okay, wait a minute. We're going to give the belt to Braun Strowman. How are we going to do this and build Braun back up at the same time? I don't know. Maybe have the Fiend interfere in the match for Braun Strowman and have Braun turn heel right there in the Goldberg match. And have Bray Wyatt say it was always my intention to bring my family back, and that's a gift to Braun Strowman. Okay, well, now you got Braun Strowman cycled back up as big because you say, oh, now he's with Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. This is going to be fucking ridiculous. You're not going to be able to get that belt off him. How are you going to get that belt off him now? He's tough enough by himself. Now he's got The Fiend as backup and Bray Wyatt leading him? Fuck that. You could have done that. You had him there anyway. You could have taped something for a minute. Nah, I can't do that. It's too much thought. Just give him the belt, and we'll take it off him and give it back to, what's the chubby guy's name? Oh, Bray Wyatt. Yeah, give it to him. And then when Roman's healthy, he'll just come back and take it from him, and we'll get to where we were going to be anyway. Boy, is that lazy. I mean, Jesus. And now we see why, because the attitude of a lot of these performers, our fans aren't happy anyway. So just give them the cat shit and don't ask them if they want cat shit or dog shit. It's unbelievable. The only ones I really feel sorry for, I don't feel sorry for Vince McMahon and company because they put themselves in these positions by just being as greedy as they can possibly be and putting the fans last every goddamn time. And I don't want to hear, well, we went out of our way for WrestleMania. Oh, you went out of your way so you didn't lose your shirts, and you still lost your shirts. Just not as bad. I was going to throw up when I heard Stephanie McMahon say, oh, because we know how much you fans are relying upon a little entertainment to ease your worry that you're all going to die. We have made the ultimate sale, please. God almighty. How stupid do you think we are? I feel sorry for the wrestlers. Because now these wrestlers are saying, well, wait a minute, now we got to come every week and go through this whole routine of temperature taking and being tested of make sure we're okay to come in. And then what happens when I have to go back? And now I got to stay here longer and quarantine myself. This is going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare. And everybody's going to be unhappy. Everybody's going to be unhappy. And now your performances, you're going to see it. They're going to be all unhappy. They were just getting back to the point where they weren't unhappy. Now they're all unhappy again. And now the last thing we have to say is that in the middle of this pandemic, the WWE said, you know what, Revival, you can go. You're dismissed. You don't have any no-compete clause. You want to just go and do what you're going to do. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to AEW? They've just suspended their operation, so you won't be wrestling for them for a while. So whatever you choose to do, you know, F you. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. It's mind-boggling. The world of professional wrestling right now is mind-boggling. But I do know this. If Vince McMahon and company have the choice between doing what is optically looks great for their company and optically looks like a nightmare, they always choose the nightmare. I've never seen anything like this in my life. You would think that even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. You would think that at some point in time, the WWE would accidentally do the right thing. You couldn't get worse if you had somebody trying to sabotage you, saying, do this, this is the right move. You couldn't get worse. Saudi Arabia, nightmare. Booking Goldberg to be the champion, nightmare. The way they handled the plan B for the pandemic thing, nightmare. Deciding to go live instead of doing the taping, nightmare. On the day that somebody gets COVID-19 from their company, nightmare. It's all in everything they do is optically the wrong move. It's mind-boggling. And then going back to, oh, yeah, how about you go pay $60 for pay-per-views again, folks? Yeah, optically, that's a nightmare. Everything's a nightmare they're doing. If there was no pandemic and they were making these moves, AEW would have already taken them over. Because I'm telling you right now, AEW was making the right moves for a while. This one has thrown AEW a real curveball, and they're not sure how to handle it because they're a fledgling company who's never had to go through anything like this. So they're caught on their asses because they're not sure what to do. I can give them a little leeway because they're not sure what to do. They don't have to handle any of this. WWE's been in operation forever, and even if you didn't have to handle anything like this, you should be prepared because you've been in business forever. And instead, they make the wrong move every time. So I don't know, Todd. I gave this show I gave SmackDown a C plus. What are you giving it?
I'm going to give it a C plus as well.
And I know Mike, who couldn't be with us today, sent me a message saying he's giving it a C. I think he said a C minus or a C plus as well. It was what it was. I think the big surprise to everyone is we're going to get live shows now. And you better hope and pray, WWE, that with one employee already coming down with it, you don't get more. Because if you get more, this move is going to look like a self-serving, greedy move that caused people to get sick. And I don't know if you can survive that kind of optic. Have a good Easter, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.